ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today is May 3rd, 2018, and in a couple of days we are going to see Ishwar Amma Day celebrations in Prashantinilam and everywhere where there is a Sai Center. I remember how in the last decade of Bhagwan's earthly sojourn, wherever Bhagwan was, be it Vrindavan or Kodaikanal, he would return to Parthi just for this day and visit the Samadhi of the Chosen Mother, place garlands on her statue and distribute clothes and food to all the poor and the needy there. The very mention of Ishwar Amma would always overwhelm the Lord's eyes. The very word Ishwar Amma, be it a devotee, be it a student, be it an elder, anyone, even just uttering the word Ishwar Amma would always make Swami's eyes become full. How pure is that soul, isn't it? Every major mission that Bhagwan accomplished, he finally said he did it only to fulfill the wish of the Divine Mother. He attributed everything to his mother. Perhaps just demonstrating to us how deep, intense, involving and all encompassing our love for our mother should be. And of course our love for the Divine Mother also should be. I remember talking to Mr. Ramani, the current Vice President of Sri Satya Sai Organizations India, and he recalled how he came to Bhagwan way back in 1959 as a school-going teenager. Swami loved his father, Mr. Nagaraj, and because his father was in the pharmaceutical business, Swami always called him Dr. Nagaraj. And whenever Swami came to Vrindavan in the 60s, Swami would ask his father to take Mother Ishwar Amma for a checkup. And Mr. Nagaraj would take the Divine Mother to Dr. Parameshwaran, a brilliant physician of those times who had all the testing facilities, the X-ray, ECG, etc., in his premises itself. We are talking about, you know, a time when there were very limited medical facilities in India, and Whitefield especially was very much outskirts of Bangalore. But Dr. Parameshwaran's clinic in Bangalore was perhaps one of those very rare places in those times where one could give samples in the morning and could get the results in the evening. And Dr. Parameshwaran also was a very spiritual man. He was associated with the Sringeri Math and he had great love for Bhagwan too. And Swami would often send devotees to him for checkup. And whenever Bhagwan sent anybody to him, he would always give first preference to those sent by Bhagwan, and he would ask and he would tell everyone to convey his pranams to Satya Sai Gopal. That is how he used to address Swami, Satya Sai Gopal. So Swami used to ask Mr. Nagaraj to take Mother Ishwar Amma for a health checkup, and Swami would tell Mr. Nagaraj that you keep Ishwar Amma in your home, because it would take a while after she gives the samples in the morning. She has to see the doctor again in the evening. And Swami would tell Mr. Nagaraj that she can stay in your home for the day. And after she finishes consultation with the doctor in the evening, you bring her back to Whitefield. So Mr. Nagaraj had the privilege of having Mother Ishwar Amma in his home. And Mr. Ramani, who was of course then a youngster, recalls how Mother Ishwaramma would always talk only about Swami whenever she was there with them. She would be constantly concerned only about Bhagwan and his health. She would be all the time thinking what to do so that Swami will eat a little more, what to do so that he's taken care of, what to do so that, you know, he takes some rest, what to do so that, you know, he doesn't get lost all the time being with the devotees. So this was the constant worry, the constant concern of the mother. Nothing else. Everyone came to Bhagwan asking for this blessing or that. Everyone came to Bhagwan with their problems, with their requirements, and they pleaded, prayed, they persisted, and they had their wishes granted, and they left. But no one came to Swami asking Bhagwan, "Swami, how are you? Swami, is there anything that we can do for you?" But here was the mother, Mr. Ramani says, here was the mother who 24/7 was continuously only thinking about Bhagwan. What should I do so that he will eat a little more? What should I do so that he will rest a little more? What will I cook so that he will add a little more to his weight? What is it that will add some nutrition to his body? He eats so less. This is what was the constant restlessness of the mother, of the divine mother, of the chosen one, who was picked by the Lord from among all the women in the world to descend, to be the medium to descend onto the earth. How pure her womb must have been. No wonder every time the word Ishwaramma is uttered, Bhagwan is in tears. How grateful we should be towards the mother for being that immaculate, pristine self, so that she could be the carrier for the cosmic consciousness to descend onto the earth.
Dhanya ho Ishwaramma.
Jagadodhara Sai Narayana.
Mother Ishwarama left her mortal coil in May 1972. And I shared it with you in the earlier episodes of this program how Swami gave the opportunity to Mrs. Ratanlal to start cooking for him in December 1971. When you think about it, it was so well timed, just like everything of Bhagavan. And Mr. Ramani says, and he's someone who has lived with Bhagwan for nearly 45-50 years. After Mother Ishwarama left her body, Mr. Ramani says, it was Mrs. Ratanlal who had that kind of concern, that kind of restlessness about Swami's physical well-being, that kind of constant worry about Bhagwan's health, his food, his travels, his bed, his everything. In fact, he recalls how she used to ask his father, Mr. Nagraj, to bring vegetables from the city. In those days, the facilities in Whitefield, in Kadukudi, were minimal. You did not find good quality vegetables here. So she used to ask Mr. Nagraj to bring vegetables from the city. And Mr. Nagraj, of course, would inform Swami, because in those days they did not do anything without Bhagwan's permission. So she would ask Bhagwan, he would ask Bhagwan, and Swami would okay it. And that is how Mr. Nagraj would get vegetables for Mrs. Ratanlal. And Mrs. Ratanlal would always be constantly thinking how to rotate the vegetables, how to cook something different for Swami, because how to ensure that Swami does not have the same routine food, because Swami will just be satisfied with the ragi balls, and you know, just because he used to eat so little, just one or two pieces of ragi chapati, that's all Swami would want. But it was Mrs. Ratanlal who would be constantly thinking what would be nutritious, which vegetable should I have today, what did I have for him yesterday, which fruit will add more energy to Swami, how to alternate between the vegetables, how to make new items, what will be to his taste. So this is what Mrs. Ratanlal was constantly engaged in, apart from, of course, so many other responsibilities, but this was her primary concern all the time. In fact, in later years, when Bhagwan went to different places, Swami fortunately gave Mrs. Ratanlal to be part of the entourage, gave her the opportunity to be part of the trip. And one of the immediate things that Mrs. Ratanlal would do wherever Bhagwan went is to go to the kitchen and see what they are making for Swami. Would it be something that Swami would gladly eat, or she would herself make something in that kitchen which she felt, you know, probably would make Swami homely, just like it was with Mother Ishwarama. We have heard so many instances where Mother Ishwarama would go into the kitchen and she would make that rasam, or she would make that sambar, what she thought, you know, that Swami would have a liking towards eating, because as it is, his schedule is so packed. Let him eat well. That used to be Mother Ishwarama's concern. It was the same with Mrs. Ratanlal. Even when Bhagwan went to Kodaikanal, Mrs. Ratanlal would always go 1 or 2 days in advance, and she would set up the kitchen. And even though there were cooks who would make something for Bhagwan, Mrs. Ratanlal would set up her own little kitchen. She would when the boys would go for morning walk, she would selectively pick up vegetables and she would again cook separately for Bhagwan. She would have her own little stove with, you know, 2 cylinders, and she would prepare her dishes for Bhagwan. And it was not just cooking. Just like Mother Isharama, she would be concerned about everything and she would do everything in her capacity to see that Swami does not skip any meal. Swami does not skip food. That Swami has sufficient quantity. I mean, this, it is not just cooking, ensuring that Swami eats. Because we know how Swami has so little attachment, so little inclination to eat. It was always like that with Bhagwan. The boys would chant Brahmarpanam and Swami would have finished eating. That is how much Bhagwan ate. And this was the constant source of worry for Mrs. Ratanlal. She would all the time wonder, if he eats so little, how will he carry on? How will he go around giving darshan? How can he go on talking for hours in the interview room if he does not have energy? And in the day Swami ate a little more, she would be ecstatic. And the day Swami did not eat, she would be completely crestfallen. This is Mrs. Ratanlal's life in a snapshot. In fact, there are so many instances that Mr. Ramani was a personal witness to. He mentions how one morning in Kodaikanal, Swami asked all the boys to go to the dining hall, and then Swami would watch as each student went and took their seat in the dining hall, and Swami would be, you know, goading everyone to go. And then after everyone settled down, Swami went back, and Swami himself didn't go to occupy his chair in the dining hall. So a couple of boys prayed to Swami, "Swami, please come and join." But Swami said, no, you all go and have. And, you know, seeing that, Mrs. Ratanlal was very worried. And so Ratanlal Amma goes and says, "Swami, please, you also have to come. Please come and have food." And you know, Swami tried to evade her. Swami did not pay much attention. But, you know, Swami said, "I'm not coming now." But, you know, just like a child who would say, "No, I don't want to eat. I don't feel like eating." And just like how a mother would then say, no, you have to eat. How will you carry on with the work? You will not have energy. Don't do this drama. Don't, you know, act up again. So this is how Mrs. Ratanlal also would be with Swami. And she would go and tell Swami, "You have to eat. You know, how will you, what will happen to your health? At least for the sake of your body, don't act up now. You please come and have, you have to have food with the boys." And she would lovingly plead with Bhagwan. And Mr. Ramani has seen how Swami would accede to that. Finally, you know, when she pleads like that, just like a child, you know, finally will come around once the mother knows what to do, and once the mother, you know, persuades the child, it was the same. Mrs. Ratanlal would lovingly persuade Bhagwan and Swami would give in. And slowly that morning too, Swami went in and joined the boys for food. This is what Mrs. Ratanlal was to the physical form of Bhagwan. Mr. Vinay Kumar, the youth leader from Karnataka, who had many chances of interaction with Mrs. Ratanlal in the last 10-15 years of her life, he recalls how Ratanlal auntie used to feel very bad if Swami had not had anything to eat, and she would be so concerned because she would always think, how will he go around and give darshan? He needs some energy, isn't it? Why doesn't he eat? And in fact, there was one occasion, she actually went up to Swami and said, "Swami, you cannot waste the food on the plate. You have to have." I mean, this is how she could relate to Swami. This is how she could actually order Swami. I mean, just like only a mother can do. Only a mother can do. And imagine what was Swami's reaction when she said that. Swami just looked at her in a blank face. Swami himself was shocked. And then Ratanlal Amma picked up more courage and she took the rice, the sambar, the rasam that was there in the plate. And you know what she did? She made three balls out of it. And she said, "Swami, you are Brahma, you are Vishnu, you are Maheshwara." So she made these three balls of rice, rasam, everything put together. And she said, "Swami, please take this. This is Brahma eating. This is for Brahma. You please have this." And then she made another ball and she said, "Swami, this is Vishnu. Vishnu needs nourishment. So you please have this. You are Vishnu." And she made the third ball. "Swami, you are Shiva. You are Maheshwara. Shiva needs energy. You please have this too. I mean, this is how she would coax Swami and talk to him as if he was a little child. She would mother, be a mother for the Lord. And Bhagwan would accede. Bhagwan would relent. Bhagwan had no choice when Ratanlal Amma, in all her purity, was able to offer her love, her immaculate love to Bhagwan. What level of purity one needs to have to be able to do this? In fact, it reminds me of Anusuya, the great mother from the scriptures, who through her purity she was able to convert Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara into babies in front of her. That was the power of her penance and her purity. When you think about these instances, you know, it's impossible that anyone else could have done that. Imagine ordering Swami. Imagine telling Swami, you've got to do this. Imagine telling Swami, you cannot waste. But this is what Mrs. Ratanlal was to Bhagwan. She had that freedom. And Bhagwan too was very informal with her in the initial years. You know, this is the 9th episode where we are talking about Mother Ishwaram, Mother Ratanlal. And if you have been hearing these episodes, you would have seen how Bhagwan brought her to his presence and how Bhagwan slowly has been shaping her. And so there were times when Bhagwan was very, very informal with her in those earlier times. In fact, in the earlier days in Vrindavan, Mr. Ramani narrates how Swami used to ask his father to stay in Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan ashram in those days. And Mrs. Ratanlal had a little cottage. In fact, that's another story by itself, how Swami built this little cottage for Mrs. Ratanlal. And there were just couple of one or two more cottages, and in one cottage, Mrs. Indra Devi used to stay. She's from the US. She was from the US, and she used to teach yoga, and in those days, had a lot of interaction with Bhagwan. But when she was not there, her house was empty, so Swami used to ask Mr. Ramani's father, Mr. Nagaraj, to stay there in the Vrindavan ashram. So that is how Mr. Ramani has seen Swami going into the cottage of Mrs. Ratanlal. So he has seen how Swami many a times during the day would just step into, casually, just go into the house of Mrs. Ratanlal, and there was a swing, a jhula in the front veranda of her little cottage. And Swami would go, Swami would happily sit there, and many a times Mrs. Ratanlal, who would be all the time busy in the kitchen, would not even be aware of Swami's presence. It was like her cottage was an extension of Swami's house. And Ratanlal Amma recalled how in Vrindavan those days, it was full of mango trees. It was a mangrove all over. And there were full of different fruit trees. There was full of flowers. So the cottage was surrounded with all these beautiful trees, and there were almond trees, different apricot trees, guava tree. So Swami used to just walk around, and in those days nobody would even follow Swami, and there would be just a few boys around, that's all. So Swami was one with the nature, with the trees, with the fruits, with the flowers in that little Vrindavan. And in front of her jhula, in that front veranda, there used to be a table with four chairs. So many times Swami would just come and Swami would sit in the jhula, and she would be in the kitchen, and sometimes Swami would open the fridge and take out his paan. In those days, Swami used to chew paan. She would always keep the paan ready in the top shelf of the fridge. So Swami would come, pick up a paan, and knowing what Swami likes, you know, many times she would also keep peanuts which are roasted and the skin is removed. So she would keep a bottle of peanuts there, and Swami would many times come, pick up a few peanuts, and just sit on the swing. And sometimes when she gets aware that Swami has come, she would offer Swami some drinks or coconut water. So this is how Mrs. Ratanlal's home was for Bhagwan. No wonder, you know, she related to Swami at a very different level. So one day, she was busy in the kitchen, and her kitchen door had a spring. So if you open the kitchen door, it is the noise would always alert her, you know, someone has come. But her front room door was made of iron, wrought iron, and that would make very little noise when you opened or closed the door. So many times she would not even know if anyone has come inside the house, because she would be busy, and you know, in the kitchen there's always different kinds of noises happening in the kitchen, the grinder and the cutting and everything, and the pressure cooker going off. So all those noises should be always submerged in the kitchen ambience, and she would not even realize if someone had come. And her house would be all the time open. She had never locked the house. And so one day she was busy cooking, and Swami came in, and Swami brought two baskets of fruits, and so two boys brought that, and the door was open as always. And so Swami then opened the kitchen door and saw that she was very busy in the kitchen. And as always, you know, when she would be cooking, she would be singing, so that her song was going on, and she was lost, you know, in her song and lost in her worship, because every time she cooked, it was a worship for the Lord. So she was lost in that work. And Swami, you know, opened the door, and perhaps Swami peeped for 10-15 minutes, but still Mrs. Ratanlal was so lost in what she was doing that she didn't realize. So Swami went back to the jhula, so he sat on the swing, and after a while, Swami got up and Swami went to her puja room. So she had her altar. So she used to have, every day she used to light lamps. So she had the silver lamps, deepams. And so Swami went there, and then Swami went to the bedroom. So in her bedroom, there was a little closet, you know, where she used to keep her clothes, her jewelry, her money and everything. So Swami knew every little bit of her house, and she never locked anything. None of the shelves where the jewelry was there, or where her expensive watches were there, where her money was there, nothing was ever locked, because the 2-3 people who helped her in the house, she trusted them completely, and it was only Swami or the boys. So she never ever locked anything. And in fact, Mrs. Ratanlal says it was the same with her in Mumbai too. Her staff was always aware of what is there where, and she trusted them completely. So Bhagwan came, Swami went around the house, and then Swami picked up a towel, and then Swami took the jewelry from the shelf, Swami took the money from the shelf, Swami picked up the watches from the shelf, then Swami went to the altar, Swami picked up the lamps, the silver lamps, and he put everything into the towel, and he made a bag out of it, and then he gave it to the boys and he told to take them away. And even as he was going, then Swami told the boys to even take the basket of fruits, the two basket of fruit which had come. It was meant for her to prepare dinner for the boys in the evening. So those fruits also went back. And so Swami was there for more than an hour, and Mrs. Ratanlal had no clue of what was happening in her house beyond the kitchen. After 1.5 hours, she finished cooking for Bhagwan, and she was now relaxed. And then she came out, and imagine, for 1.5 hours almost, Bhagwan was there in the room, and there were boys coming, going, so many things happening. But she was completely oblivious to everything. In fact, Mr. Vinay Kumar says that, you know, that is a kind of single-pointedness with which one has to be immersed in when someone is doing puja of the Lord. And Mrs. Ratanlal used to say, puja is not just meditation. Whatever you do for the Lord, can you do it with that single-pointedness? Can we do it with that kind of intense feeling, intense focus? That is our worship to the Lord. That is our puja to the Lord. You know, so many people just outside her kitchen. There is so much happening, but her mind is constantly focused. Swami says how even if a lady is carrying, you know, three, four pots of water on her head, and still she can carry her baby in her arm and everything is balanced because, you know, her concentration is so high. Swami says that is how our intensity should be when we are connecting with the Lord. And every time she did anything, it was with that kind of intensity. It was with that constant pursuit of perfection, constant pursuit of connection with the Lord. So she finished her cooking and then she came out and she packed everything. In those days, she has to send the food upstairs. Mr. Rama Brahman was the caretaker of the Vrindavan Ashram. So she had to give the food basket to Mr. Ram Brahman. So Mr. Ram Brahman went up to Bhagwan, and within 5 minutes he returned and he said, Swami wants you to send those two baskets of fruit which Swami had sent. And Mrs. Ratanlal is surprised. She says, you know, if Swami had sent the baskets, then you know they must be in the house. You ask the boys to take it back. And she was still, you know, in lost in that singing mood. She had just finished cooking and everything. And she knew that those baskets of fruit Swami would have sent, because that evening she had to prepare dinner for all the boys. And in fact, so she said that to Mr. Ram Brahman. And Mr. Ram Brahman comes back and says, there is no fruit. The baskets are not there. And now Mrs. Ratanlal is a bit tensed, because what has happened? What had happened was, just 10 days before that, she had bought bananas and oranges and all these fruits. You know, Swami had again asked her to prepare food for all the boys. So she had brought like 500 bananas and 500 oranges. And what had happened was, there was one boy who came to her home, and that boy took the pan box and left the door open. And in the meanwhile, a bunch of monkeys came there and they finished completely all the fruits, because her house was always open. And now when Mr. Ram Brahman said that there is nothing in your home, now Mrs. Ratanlal is a bit tensed, because she was supposed to cook that day for 60 boys, and she was supposed to make this fruit salad with ice cream and all that. In fact, in those days, every 15 days, Swami used to ask her to cook and invite all the boys for dinner. And it used to be elaborate dinner. There should be 3 payasams and 1 fruit salad, ice cream, 1 sweet. And it was so difficult to get the raw materials, to get the fruits and vegetables at that point in time, in those days in Vrindavan, because one had to go to the city market, and it used to take so long. The communication facilities were so limited. And now Mrs. Ratanlal was tense, because, you know, it was already 1 o'clock, and how is she going to prepare all this food which has to be ready by 6 o'clock? If someone has to go now to the city to get the fruits, by the time someone goes and comes itself, it will be 4 or 5 hours minimum. So she was very worried. So she came in and, you know, she was very tense, not finding the fruit. Swami has then said that she has sent the fruit. There are no fruits. So she was tense. She went to the bathroom. And when she was going to the bathroom, she thought, let's see what is the time is now. And when she's looking for her watch, and her watch is not there. And now she's really now very disturbed. She goes to the altar and she sees deepams are not there. Not even one single silverware is there with what she used to do for puja. And now she's getting so, so disturbed. And now she says, okay, forget all this. You know, it doesn't matter if you have lost all this. Now she goes to the drawer, she calls the driver, and she goes to the drawer. She just wants to pick up the money and give to the driver and says, you know, you immediately leave for the city and, you know, get whatever fruits you can get. And so she opens the cupboard to take the money. There is no money. She used to have money in all denominations all the time, and now she's completely in a fix. There is no money, there are no watches, there is nothing in the house. Then she sees that even her earrings, her bangles, nothing. everything is there in the house. And then, you know, she remembers how Swami used to tell her, you are very careless. In fact, Swami once had told her that you are very careless. One day someone will come and steal everything from your house. And at that point in time, Mrs. Ratanlal had told Swami, Swami, who will come, Swami? If anyone comes, it will only be Krishna. That Krishna is the only thief. Only that Krishna thief will come, Swami. Nobody else is going to come. Why will anyone come, Swami? You are there with me all the time. Why will anyone come and steal anything from my house? This is how she had told Swami many, many days ago. And now there are calls from Ram Brahmam, where are the food baskets? And now when Ram Brahmam goes and tells Swami that there is no food basket, Swami says, call Amma. So Swami is there in his standing at the top of the staircase, and now she's there now below the staircase, and Swami is looking at her sort of in a stern face, and Swami is saying, you know, where are the fruits? And Swami is actually reprimanding her, you know, you are so careless, you leave your doors open, I sent you the fruits, and you have no idea how to keep things carefully. And Swami is going on like that, and there are people, the lady standing next to Mrs. Ratanlal, and they're saying, you are so lucky, you know what, Swami came, and Swami was there for more than an hour in your house. They're telling in Telugu, that somebody's telling in Hindi, somebody's telling in English, and from there, Swami is reprimanding her. So she was a complete mess, she didn't understand what was happening. And then, you know, after 15 minutes of all this confusion, she tells Swami, Swami, you just wait, these ladies are trying to tell me something. They are telling me that you had come to my house and you were there for an hour or more. Is it true, Swami? And Swami immediately says, no, who said that? I never came. But these ladies are saying, no, Swami had come. He was there, you didn't realize. And all this. And then, you know, looking, Mrs. Ratanlal was so flustered. She didn't know how to react, what was happening. But her main concern was how to make the dinner. If the fruits are not there now, how to prepare the food that Swami has promised for all the boys? That was her main concern. Because it should not be just 60 people. Sometimes it would be, you know, 100 people, because Swami would suddenly call guests, and you don't know who else will suddenly land up. With Swami, it was always unpredictable. So she had to prepare most of the time, you know, double the quantity, or at least 50-60% more, always. And she had to make pulao, she had to make kurma, she had to make sambar, rasam, she had to make rice, she had to make puri, she had to make sweets, she has to make papad, because Swami always wanted a complete banquet for all the boys. And she was, that was her constant thought, that, you know, how am I going to do this? And then, because these ladies were telling, no, Swami had come, so she looked at Swami and said, she just pointed to Swami and said, Swami, no thief had come. I think only one thief had come. And she pointed to Swami. And Swami said, what? You're calling me a thief? And she said, No, Swami. Swami, when Krishna used to go to the houses of Gopikas and steal the butter, we never called that stealing, no, Swami. That was just love. That was the beautiful love of Krishna, isn't it, Swami? It is the same. How can you steal, Swami? And Swami started laughing. And that is not all. She said, Swami, whatever you have taken, Swami, you keep everything with you. All the jewels, the lamps, my watches, my jewelry, everything, the money, keep everything with you, Swami. You just only send those two baskets of fruits. That is very important. I cannot make the dinner otherwise. Please, you just send this. Everything else you keep. And Swami was now in full beaming with smiles, beaming at her beautiful love for the Lord. Love without duty is divine. That is what the life of Mrs. Ratanlal is. In fact, one cannot but not think of Mother Yashoda and Krishna when you are listening to the tales of the Vrindavan You know, that was one Vrindavan, and this was the Vrindavan recreated. It was the same Sai Krishna. There were the woods, there were the trees, there were the Gopikas, the boys, and there was Mrs. Ratanlal, the Yashoda. In fact, I'm reminded of how Swami used to mention about Mother Subbamma and say that how she used to run after Bhagwan, just try to locate Bhagwan in the hills and the woods and, you know, carry different food items, different items and see what Swami will like. She would cook all that and keep searching for Bhagwan in the morning, because you never know where Swami will be. Suddenly he would be there in the river, suddenly he will be there on a hillock. But she would spend her time only looking for Bhagwan and feeding Bhagwan. It is the same now with Ratanlal Amma, the diamond of a devotee who had that privilege to be a mother to the Lord. And in fact, the story does not end there. The next day, Swami, while talking to Mr. Ratanlal, Swami says, "What is this? I was there for more than an hour, but you are singing the same song. At least change the song. Ek hi gana. You sing ek hi gana. Ded ghanta ek hi gana. Kam se kam aur ek bhajan gao. Kam se kam aur ek bhajan gati." Swami, next day Swami is telling her. And Mrs. Ratanlal says, "Swami, I don't even know what I am singing, Swami. I don't even know that you were there in the house. Your maya is so strong. I had no idea about anything. I don't know what I was singing." And Mrs. Ratanlal says, "How beautiful it used to be in those days, singing for the Lord. And in those days, they would have the chance to sing along with Swami. In fact, after Swami finishes the public darshan, Swami would come inside Vrindavan. And then there used to be a chair where Bhagwan would sit. And before the dining session, Swami would just sit on that chair. And there would be beautiful pictures there of Shirdi Baba and, you know, other gods. And Swami would just go on singing. Swami would take the talam, Swami would play, and they all would join. And that singing session sometimes would go on for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, because Swami would be just lost singing, and they would be just, they would forget their bodies, they would forget their mind, just singing with the Lord. That is how their life was in those days. The Lord stole their hearts with His music, with His melody, with His magic, with His love, with His overpowering presence and His sweetness, the nectar of His Leela. They were soaked in the Amritam that was Vrindavan. And Swami was that Chitta Chora. He really stole their minds, their hearts. No wonder every student in those days, if you talk to them, you know that they were constantly milling around Bhagwan's residence for another, just one more glance, one more, maybe he will speak, you know, one more time, maybe Swami will part the curtain. They were all the time around Bhagwan's residence. It was just like how it was with the Gopikas. Their minds were completely all the time with Swami. Even if they were eating, they were sleeping, going to college, but the mind was constantly with Bhagwan. That is what Vrindavan was in those days, and that is what Mrs. Ratanlal experienced, was fortunate to experience with Bhagwan, the one who stole their hearts like no one else ever can.
Chitta chora murali wala. Chitta chora murali wala. Vrindavan Shyam Gopala, Vrindavan Shyam Gopala, మధురా వ్రజ గోకుల బాలా
Mr. V. Srinivasan, the former All India President of Satya Sai Seva Organizations, who also had the opportunity to watch Mrs. Ratanlal at very close quarters and see her serve Bhagwan for many years, he says that even though she had such an endearing relationship with Bhagwan, even though she had so much of freedom when it came to Bhagwan's physical proximity, but she always maintained a sense of decorum and dignity. And this is what Swami appreciated so much. She always knew how to conduct with Bhagwan, depending on who was there with Bhagwan. If there were guests and if there were eminent people around Bhagwan, she would never coax Swami to eat. Only probably mention one or two words, but she would not persist then. But if there was no one, then she would be there like a mother coaxing Swami. So she knew how to conduct with Bhagwan and what would make Swami comfortable, when she can take liberty and when she should be completely in the background. She knew all the time how to conduct in front of Bhagwan, and that is something, you know, that Swami trained her. And she, because her attention was completely focused on what Swami likes, what is it that will make him happy, she was all the time attuned to that. And that is how her all actions were guided by Bhagwan, so that she becomes just another medium, so that everything she did was as per Bhagwan's wish. And whatever she did, she always had that passion for perfection. I mean, anything that she did, because it is for Bhagwan, there cannot be even an iota of imperfection in it. In fact, Mr. V. Srinivasan says that how when she used to make dahi, when she used to make this curd for Bhagwan, she would set the curd at 3 different times in the mornings, just to make sure that, you know, at least one of them is perfect and not sour and not properly set. Because, you know, different times when you set the curd, the taste is different. And in seasons, in different seasons, it is different. In summers, it is different. In some seasons, it takes longer time. In other seasons, it takes much less time. So she didn't want to leave anything to chance. And she would say, Jab Swami ki dahi aati hai, usme khatta nahi hona chahiye. So that is what was her aim, that whatever we offer to Bhagwan, it has to be something where you have put your heart and soul and ensured that there is no lacune in it. And this is not something we did it. She did it for 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years. She did it for 40 years or more. Same enthusiasm, same excitement, same commitment, same intense devotion, same exhilaration when she found that, you know, Swami ate something. Same joy when Swami looked healthy. In fact, Mr. Vinay Kumar narrates how one evening late in the evening, you know, this is perhaps sometime in 2008-2009, Swami's carrier came back, whatever she had cooked, and she rushed to the door, the same excitement, you know, to get the carrier, open it and see, you know, and as soon as the carrier would come, she would say, Agaya, it has come. And now, you know, whatever she is doing, she will stop everything. She will go and, you know, open the tiffin box, and then she will see, okay, if the first vessel is empty, which means Swami has eaten something, and she'll, okay, aaj to Swami ne kha liya, aaj to Bhagwan ne kha liya. She'll be very happy, and then she'll open the next tiffin, you know, and then she'll see, oh, why did Swami not eat this? Why did Swami not eat this? You know, that is what her life was all about. That feeling, that anguish when she saw that something is not taken by Bhagavan, and the joy when Swami had taken something, that is something that cannot be described, is what Brother Vinay Kumar says. Very few people in contemporary times had perhaps that kind of a devotion. In fact, this reminds me of Shabari. I mean, you know, the kind of intensity, the kind of purity, and the kind of intense offering, you know, where you live only for the Lord. That's it. The Lord's smile is a joy, and that is the only thing that sustains you. And Mrs. Ratanlal came from such a modern upbringing. She had come from a very light family. I mentioned all this in previous episodes. But here she was telling us what it is to be humble, what it is to be dedicated, what it is to have devotion. In fact, Mr. Ramani says that if Kasturi would have been there, just like Professor Kasturi has written the life of Mother Ishwaramma, we all know the book, Ishwaramma, the Chosen Mother. Mr. Ramani says, if Kasturi sir would have seen Ratanlal Amma, he too would have wanted to write a book on Mrs. Ratanlal. Because Mrs. Ratanlal is almost a shadow of Mother Ishwaramma. That is how her life was. That is how Swami prepared her. In fact, that is the life of all these chosen devotees. We hear the lives of so many saints and sages, but these were real life contemporaries of the avatar who were picked by the avatar to play very, very definite roles. And it is for us to look at their lives and derive inspiration, learn the lessons, and see if we can emulate at least a little from their lives if we want to be instruments in the Lord's hands. And Mrs. Ratanlal was concerned not just about food. In fact, on one occasion when Bhagwan is going to the governor's guest house, the governor had called Bhagwan and she saw that, Swami, your robe is not proper. You know, she went straight up and told Swami, you can't go to a governor's place like this. Swami is always not so concerned about himself. And she said, Swami, I have a robe. I have to do these 2-3 robes. You please change and go, Swami. And Swami acceded to her request. That is how her concern was. In fact, there are so many more tales about this intense concern that she had always for the physical form of the Lord. And in fact, in the future episodes, I will share with you much more stories. In fact, she was the one who also trained Mrs. Vidya, the wife of Mr. Vishnivasan, in the initial days when they became devotees and when Bhagwan used to go to Chennai. And Mrs. Vidya used to cook for Bhagwan. So in those days, Mrs. Ratanlal would always go to the kitchen and she would constantly be training her so that, you know, she cooks what would be interesting for Bhagwan, what would make Bhagwan eat. So that was her constant, and with time, she, even after Mrs. Srinivasan, Vidya Srinivasan picked up everything. Even then she would go to the kitchen and she would still monitor, she would still ensure that, you know, there were no mistakes and, you know, there was absolutely no error when it came to serving Swami, when it came to his food, when it came to doing something which will preserve his body. In fact, there are so many occasions which I have also personally seen where she would say, Swami, you are becoming thin. Swami, this is, your hair is not good. Swami, you have to do something about. And if it came from her, Swami was always different. Swami accepted it. Swami responded. No one else would dare to do that. But she could do that. And Swami would always listen to her. Swami would always relate to her in such a different manner. It is only because of her purity. It is only because right from that time she saw Swami, she knew that I belong to Swami and I'm here only for Swami. And because that was so settled, so concretely set in her mind, that everything that came only from that feeling, only from that purity, only from that intensity, and the Lord accepted everything with so much of love, with so much of welcomeness. That is what Mrs. Ratanlal was to Bhagwan. In fact, this Thursday, as we are thinking about Mother Ishwaramma, I cannot not but, you know, pay gratitude to all the mothers who have mothered the Lord, learned from Mother Ishwaramma. Just like you had a Devaki and a Yashoda, you had the Devaki as Mother Ishwaramma, who underwent so much of pain, just like Mother Devaki had. And then Bhagwan gave the chance to so many others to mother him, to Subbamma, to Ratanlal Amma. And when we look at their lives, it is for us to see what is it that we can emulate so that we too can deserve to play little roles in his mission, that we too can develop some purity, some level of that sacredness in us, so that when the Lord wants to give a task, he picks us up, you know, we become his first choice. So dear listeners, there's so much more to the life of Mrs. Ratanlal, and we will continue this series, Mrs. Ratanlal, A Diamond of a Devotee. We have done 9 episodes. I'm so grateful to Bhagwan that in the 9th episode we talked about Mrs. Ratanlal. In the future episodes, I will share with you more stories of how Swami tested her in the initial years and how Swami slowly chiseled her being so that she could shine like a diamond. It's the story of every devotee. It happens in everyone's life because that is the journey we have to go through so that we become what he wants us to become, Bangaru. We become that gold that he wants us to become, as pure, so that his image can shine in our heart, so that we reflect his love without any deformities, without any blemish, is that we also shine and radiate that love that he wants us to radiate. So we'll continue this series. Thank you so much for being with me for this program. And if you have any queries or comments or any suggestions or anything that you want to share, please feel free. You can write to listener@radioside.org, or if you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to Bishu, B-I-S-H-U, Bishu@radioside.org. With prayers at the lotus feet of Bhagwan for having given this opportunity to dwell on the lives of the people who have served him. And with prayers that we continue this series, I leave you now with that bhajan again, which goads us to offer our gratitude to the Divine Mother and pray to Bhagwan that we too imbibe that kind of purity and sublimity in our lives.
Ishwaramba, 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 Ishwaramba,
ఉండదో.